we're starting off the day with three different perspectives on what is probably the most important set of questions facing the nation, at least on the domestic policy front, namely, what are the trends in healthcare spending, what explains these trends, and are they sustainable? The answers to these questions, as you all know, are hugely consequential. Consequential for the public sector, because as we well publicize, most, if not all, of the long-run fiscal problem that this nation faces is attributable to the expectations that per capita health spending government programs is going to grow faster than per capita GDP or federal revenues. And if somehow we could ratchet that expectation down to where both the president in this budget and the Republicans in the budget resolution hope to get, namely the growth of per capita spending among the federal programs down to per capita GDP per capita percent, we could really go home and not worry about the budget problems that folks see in the future and focus our attention on really important things like what really happened in Benghazi. Really want to hear more about it. The answers are also consequential for American workers who experienced several decades of very anemic wage growth because of rapidly rising health costs that have eaten into their cash compensation as employers have devoted more of their productivity rise to paying for employer-sponsored health insurance. Of course, if you could slow this down, not only would workers be happy, but the IRS would be happy too, because we would have more taxable income and higher revenues, which would help the situation on the budget out immensely. Third, I think the answers, this is an all-service presidency. Should I start again? Third, I think the answers to the questions are consequential because they could have an impact on the future of the Affordable Care Act. If spending rebounds in the next couple of years, and the average American once again becomes very concerned about how they're going to pay for their half of the premiums for the workers or the co-pays and co-insurance, they're going to be a whole lot less interested in expanding access to other people, and the pressures that the ACA will be under will be even more intense. With respect to the debate that we're about to hear presentations on, there are four areas of general agreement. First of these is simply that we have been experiencing a slowdown, no matter how one measures it. Total spending, per capita spending, nominal, real, whatever you want to do, there has been a slowdown. Second, the slowdown is not new. It's been going on for roughly a decade, or although more intensely in the last few years than in the earlier period. Third, that the slowdown is apparent both in public sector programs and in the private sector. And fourth, that there are many possible explanations for the slowdown, and it's very, very difficult to try and disentangle the contribution of each of the factors. Much of the attention has focused on the impact of the Great Recession on the slowdown, and there are estimates that range from anywhere from a third of the slowdown to three-quarters of the slowdown is attributable to the economic difficulties of the last few years. But there's a lot of other things that have been going on. Among them, social and demographic trends, both in the provider community, where we've seen a shift to younger, more adaptable, more folks who are worried about work-life balance and so on, and also among consumers who, if they are at all cognizant of reports in the press and elsewhere, realize that the medical profession and the device manufacturers and others are not infallible, that there are many applications that seem after a decade or so and many billions of dollars of spending to have been ineffectual or even harmful. And so they have a skepticism that didn't exist in Marcus Welby's days. There have been changes in the delivery system structure, ranging from obviously minute clinics to consolidation and integration of some larger, better known systems. I think if anybody had told you 10 years ago that you would get your flu shot or your tetanus vaccine safely, we would not have believed them. But we are going to different places now than we did a few years ago. There's new cost consciousness among providers and new pressure to hold down costs by employers or insurance. And, you know, it's true, we've been there before, so one doesn't know whether these are sea changes or just the tide going in and coming out. There are new and less generous insurance options that are being offered to employees in some companies that are shifting risk from employees to individuals. There has been a slowdown in the introduction of new and expensive drugs, devices, and interventions of one kind or another, and of course there have been public policy changes. Looking at what explains the slowdown in the past, of course, isn't, it might be interesting to us, but it isn't front and center for the policy world. What we care about is, will this continue under these trends that we can count on, or are there others that will emerge, or will it all disappear? To talk about some of these issues, we have three casually dressed well, if we hadn't said business casual, they would have worn tuxedos. They need to gain respect. Todd has a lot. David Cutler, Gene Sturley, and Joe Antos here from your left to right. In more ways than one. From the optimists to the pessimists, as will become apparent. But just to make sure it's totally not unbiased, I'm placed down here, and I'm an optimist, and so if David doesn't convince you, I'll come in and try to. So with that, let me turn it over to David.
Thank you. Good morning. Actually, I think the ties for stringing us up from the ceiling when you say things that are inappropriate. When I was 5 years old, I came to the first Princeton conference. I'm delighted that even as I'm a teenager, it's still going on. So I want to, as Bob said, I'm a little bit of an optimist, although it's a little bit hard to know what an optimist is in this space. So I want to talk to you about the question of, or tee off the discussion of, is the healthcare cost slowdown structural or cyclical, or and what's going on? And so there are two charts that motivate this entire session, so let's just get them out of the way right at the start. So here's the first chart, which comes from the Congressional Budget Office, which is the forecast of the federal budget, and you can see here healthcare ruining the economy. Everyone's seen this chart before. By the middle of this century, we'll spend nothing beyond Social Security and healthcare programs, of which healthcare programs are the vast bulk of it. So this is the sort of scare scenario that I think does a pretty good job of scaring people who enjoy charts. So that's the first one, and then the second one is this one here. This chart shows you the growth rate of medical spending in recent years in real per capita terms, and you can see that the growth rate is declining, and it's at the lowest level since we've recorded history, which was about when I was minus 15 years old. There are different ways of interpreting this chart. As Bob said, one way of interpreting it is that growth in very recent years has been very slow. A second way of interpreting it is that since the early 2000s, the growth rate of medical spending has been declining and continues to decline. A third way of interpreting it is that actually since the first Princeton conference, medical spending cost increases have been relatively low, thanks to Stuart Altman, with a very brief period of time in the early 2000s. One way or the other, the question is what to make of the future, as Bob Reischauer said. Another way to look at it is if you take the forecasts that the actuaries CMS actuaries make about medical spending, not because I want to blame them, but just because they're using what is the consensus in the field, and you look at what has been the relationship between the divergence between the actuaries' forecast made a decade ago and now, it's about 15% or so in spending. So so we have this big gap. So I was curious to know the thoughts of different folks, and I'll give you my thoughts, and I'll give you what other thoughts in the literature have been. But first, I took a survey, so I was responsible for your survey. How many of you filled it out? Okay, the rest of you, please exit the room. medical spending growth has been particularly low in recent years. I gave you some facts about that. What do you make of it? The first answer was it's temporary, and we will either come back to historic growth rates or exceed historic growth rates because of some catch-up effect. So that's a sort of it's entirely temporary. The second response was that, well, we're not going to stay as low as we've been in recent years, but we'll revert somewhat. So we'll revert, and I gave you halfway just because half seemed like a good intermediate point between zero and full. And then the third answer was it's structural, that cost growth will remain low or, if anything, continue to decline even further from there. And the fourth answer was I refuse to be pigeonholed, and I'm just going to make your life be a pain in the ass. Okay, and so here are your responses, actually. Overwhelmingly, what this audience believes is that the growth of medical spending will increase somewhat from its current rate, but not to its historic rate. That is, this group tends to believe that we've got some kind of a structural change, probably not as much as some folks believe, but not that it's all temporary. I suppose my job, or at least my belief, is that C is probably more accurate than B, although I'm certainly not going to argue that either B or even A are totally unreasonable. But let me just give you a sense about how to interpret this and what it is that people have done when they've tried to look at it. So the first thing people have tried to do is to pull out the recession. There are differing estimates about how much the recession does, in part because of differing methodologies about what people are comparing. What I did in my work, this was published about a week and a half ago in Health Affairs, was to say, what could you explain by income growth relative to the actuary's forecast done a decade ago? And about one-third of the divergence between what the actuary's forecast and what actually occurred could be explained by the recession. And so then we tried to ask the question, what else was going on? And as Bob Reischauer said, it's always difficult to see the future through the rearview mirror. So I want to talk a little bit about what you see through the rearview mirror, but mostly about what it portends for the future. So the first thing that one sees looking back is actually a failure of technology, of technological change to increase, I shouldn't say failure, a lack of technologically driven cost increases over time. I finally found a group of people who have a worse forecasting record than economists about recessions, and that is investment analysts about new drugs and the success of new drugs, since approximately zero of the past 12 blockbuster drugs has been as blockbuster as it was forecast to be. And you see price declines and sales just being relatively low. There hasn't been a Lipitor since, well, Lipitor. The growth of pharmaceutical spending last year was negative for the first time, nominally, and first time ever, and of course, real per capita terms far below that. Imaging growth has slowed down. Use of cardiac procedures is either flat or declining. So across the board, when you look at things that have historically been drivers of the long-run growth of technology, they're coming in relatively low, in part because we're learning, as Bob said, that some of them are not as effective as we thought, and also because of changes in benefit plans and a variety of other mechanisms. So that's the first one. The second one, which is also an ongoing trend that's